Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Karakayan.
And I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are beyond excited for today's show. I feel like today's show is like legit. It's going to be jam-packed full of data and ways for you listeners to strategize your goals for 2020. Because I know a lot of you are here because you are already hosts, but a lot of you are also here because you want to get the courage to open up your own short-term rental. And the more you know, the less scary that becomes. So we met Jillian Luce at Haven this year. Actually, I did. So Nick and I went to this bloggers conference, and it's a great place to connect with brands and people who care about all things home. And the cool thing about homes.com, it's a great resource for you to educate yourself on buying a home for yourself or buying a home for Airbnb, which is what we're going to talk about today. So Jillian Luce is a senior marketing manager and has worked at homes.com, a division of Dominion Enterprises, for nearly a decade. As a seasoned marketing and advertising veteran, she oversees the consumer marketing strategies for the national real estate listing site. Focused on creating and delivering an ever-evolving user experience, she's launched new programs aimed at strengthening the brand presence, cultivating engagement, and increasing traffic, including new media and traditional advertising, influencer marketing, public relation tactics, content marketing, online reputation, and more. Jillian's brand and agency tenure give her unique perspective to devise and implement thoroughly integrated strategies that deliver results. So she knows how to find all the data, and she knows how to deliver it to the readers, to the consumers. In addition to providing strategic oversight for the brand's social presence, she also manages the business's development efforts for Homes.com's social suite of products, which includes full service packages of online reputation and social media management for real estate professionals. Jillian, we're so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
This is so good. We often talk about strategies for hosts in the game, you know, like how to welcome guests, how to talk about pricing, how to deal with complaints, all that kind of stuff. But I feel like we've missed a step up until this point. So we need to figure out how to get the Airbnb so that you can implement all those strategies. So that's really why you're here today, to help us, Jillian. But before we get into all the data and what Homes.com is seeing happening, you know, 2 years ago and in the future, can you talk about a little bit about what Homes.com's mission is and how our listeners can benefit from the website?
Absolutely. So Homes.com, as you kind of alluded to, Sarah, is a national internet listing site. So we have all of these abundance of listings, whether you're looking to rent a home, purchase a home, or even potentially sell your home. We have listings across the nation. Buyers can go and check out available properties in their specific area, search based on whatever specific criteria. We even have the industry's first photo search tool where you can snap a picture or even upload it from Pinterest, an exterior of a home that you really, really love and want to find something similar in your area to go and look at. So we really pride ourselves on kind of being that initial partner, but also subsequently throughout the entire home living process, which is why we went to Haven Conference. We team up with home improvement, DIY, decor related influencers to help bring that, you know, home living reality to life. And we've done a lot of different campaigns, obviously centered around the home specifically. And as everyone who is probably tuning in is very much so aware, Airbnb is obviously somebody's home. And so with that, we've done a couple of different campaigns that circle around it and provide resources and tips, as it's another opportunity from an income standpoint, being able to kind of like recoup that return on investment.
It's so good. Annette and I were kind of perusing the articles they have about not only about Airbnb and all the different facets of it and how you can get involved, but also just the home buying process, which a lot of our listeners, you know, that's kind of step one. And then they can think about that investment property. So it's a really great one-stop shop. If you haven't been to the website yet, definitely check it out. Okay, Jillian, we want to dive in to the article that was published on homes.com in February of 2018. And the title is How to Make Money with Airbnb, Best and Worst Cities. Can you chat about how you and your team gathered this data and put it together and what your goals were with sharing this with your readers?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, you know, homes.com, we really want to position ourselves as kind of that partner throughout the home living process. And if you've purchased a home and are looking at different ways to help offset and supplement the monthly mortgage payment, Airbnb has been something that's gotten wide attention as far as its capabilities of trying to assist folks in that regard. So what we did is we took an analysis of taking the median monthly mortgage payment of all cities included in our study and divided it by the average nightly price of Airbnb rentals in those respective cities, right?
Right.
So with that, we are able to kind of deter or decide which cities would take the fewest nights of renting your home and which cities would take the most nights as far as renting your home to try and offset that monthly mortgage payment. Does that make sense?
It totally does.
So with that, we were able to find out, you know, kind of essentially which cities are the best and coincidentally, which are perhaps the worst, as far as you being able to help offset that mortgage payment by being able to use this particular avenue. And so in 2018, when we did the survey, residents of Akron, Ohio actually came out on top, renting their homes just over for 4 days and being able to sustain their monthly mortgage payment. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's like a long extended weekend where you're having to essentially leave or perhaps yourself go to another Airbnb and you've essentially made your mortgage payment.
Jillian, I want to interject just 1 second about the report. How many cities were originally in the report? Because I see that there's 10 that you highlighted, but how many did you start with?
That's a wonderful question. I don't have the exact number of how many we started with, but it's obviously way more than that. I would say at least 50 to 100 cities, but also thinking through what data, because again, we compared it with Airbnb's data. So we needed to make sure that whatever cities we had details on, that were, there were also sustainable amount of rentals in on Airbnb's website. Does that make sense?
Yes. And the cities were US only across the country. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, Akron, Ohio came out on top, which is really great for them. But, and what you'll notice too in some of the different infographics is California, which should not come as any surprise, just given the real estate market and given the high prices of homes, it takes a lot more time for you to rent out your home to sustain an entire mortgage payment. I mean, Santa Clarita, California, it was estimated nearly 30 days every single month. I mean, that's essentially the month in order to sustain your mortgage payment. So it really kind of depicts a picture If you're looking to try and get this supplemental income for yourself and to help offset the mortgage payments themselves, you really also have to think through the area that you are, how highly coveted it might be for tourists, for visitors, and what have you, and what the amount of time would be in order for you to actually come out on top.
Absolutely. I think this too, for listeners, is it could be number one, shocking, but number two, how incredible is that, that if you are in Akron, Ohio, because of this technology, because of the platforms like Airbnb, you can get in on this amazing side hustle, or for some of us, you know, like Annette and myself, who've turned it into very much a full-time hustle, that, you know, Akron, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio is on here, Indy, Indianapolis is on here as great ways to meet your mortgage, possibly exceed your mortgage in not that many days during the month. Are you noticing your readers getting excited for that opportunity to be able to offset those costs? I know a lot of millennials who are finally buying homes, you know, they have educational loans and all that kind of stuff. This is kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And I mean, it's honestly, if you were to look at any type of Google searches regarding Airbnb, the obvious reason is that people are trying to figure out if it's something that's open to them, but also if it's something that's lucrative for them to do. And so you touched on with millennials purchasing homes and them having the highest amount of student debt than any generation previously, that this is something they have to factor in. And we actually have an article on our site that indicates not just Airbnb, but other opportunities to kind of supplement your income to help offset those mortgage payments, because it's a reality for so many people. And millennials being the largest home buyer generation at this point in time, it's something that's very much so on top of mind.
Actually, we were looking at that article about side hustles, and Airbnb is great. And I feel like I didn't write down when that was written, but Airbnb was number one. And the cool thing is Annette and I have talked about, you don't even have to have a home to have Airbnb as a side hustle. You can now do things like experiences with Airbnb, which is a whole other topic. But no, it's a great article, and we'll link to that one too in the show notes in case you're interested. Okay, Jillian, what else on the 2018 report? Are you noticing on your site since you've listed this, and now, you know, a little over a year and a half has gone by, has the interest for learning about Airbnb, has it spiked at all? Are you noticing anything with the interest of making money on Airbnb with your readers and people buying homes?
That's a great question. Honestly, these topics, this campaign in particular, got a lot of attention noted as far as the popularity of Airbnb and short-term rentals is concerned. And one of the things, we haven't immediately gotten any particular readers comment, you know, this is really great information or what have you, but just the fact that it got so much media pickup indicates that other publishers recognize that it's a very timely conversation. It's something that all readers across the board, whether it's homes.com specific or not, are interested in kind of figuring out this information. Even if you don't live in these cities that either have the more revenue or the less revenue opportunities, it's still really great information, and it kind of gets you thinking, if you will, of what your potential city might have.
Do you think there's anything that might change this 2018 report, other than the fact that, you know, rates are changing, numbers are changing all the time, but just because Airbnb now is facing regulations in some cities where they're saying, you know, I know, for example, I've got friends who are Airbnb hosts in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they have now transitioned those Airbnbs into full-time traditional rentals, and they're kind of going into the outskirts of, you know, of Raleigh. Do you think that's going to become a trend where cities are kind of saying no, but these outlying cities are saying, you know, sure, why not? We haven't even thought it would be an issue here. Do you think, because Akron, Ohio is doing so well on this report, can hosts who are facing those transitions not feel like their whole business, their whole side hustle is going to come crashing down?
I mean, it's a great question. When it comes to most everything, once it skyrockets in popularity, it takes a little bit of regulations or technology or what have you to kind of catch up and think through all of the logistics associated with it. So whenever we produce content that's associated with Airbnb, we really encourage people to take a look at some details so that they can properly prepare for what may or may not be able to happen. So, you know, taking a look at your city's regulations is very, very crucial. Fun fact, the Something in the Water Festival, are you guys familiar with that festival?
We're not.
So it was a really big, so locally, one of our celebrities that we're kind of known for, Pharrell Williams, you may have heard of him. He is from this area. And so he put together a Something in the Water festival, which is essentially a large music festival, similar to like Coachella, but not obviously to that level yet. And it took place this year, right at the oceanfront in Virginia Beach. And we already have a huge tourist season in Virginia Beach, which is, you know, not too far from Norfolk, Virginia, where Homes.com is headquartered. And so for us, there was a call to action during that festival from the celebrity himself of encouraging people to list their homes on Airbnb because so many hotels were selling out. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of people coming to this area and there was no hotels available. And, you know, he made this call to action on Twitter and it, of course, went viral. And one of the things the city of Virginia Beach did was caution people in prior to doing that, that they made sure to check with the city regulations first. Not that they weren't wanting people to do it. It was obviously something that would drive a lot of revenue for the city. So they're very, very eager to find ways to make people who are visiting comfortable in our area, but they encourage people. And that's honestly, that's something that everyone needs to do is factor in if this is something that you're interested in, if you're purchasing a home with the intention of having it as serve as an Airbnb rental, or if you currently have a home and you're seeking it out as a supplemental way to pay for your mortgage, is consider what type of city regulations are, what, you know, what you're compliant, what you are and aren't able to do prior to making all those necessary steps. You definitely don't want to, especially if you're in a buyer situation, purchase something way over your head and unfortunately be stuck with the mortgage because you didn't do the due diligence prior to.
Jillian, let's kind of like stay in this thinking about cities. What are we talking about for 2020? Because this report was in 2018 and, you know, there might be a huge change if people are flooding these markets. Are you planning on doing another report for 2020? Do you have any guesses just being behind the scenes and on homes.com, what areas are kind of popping off?
Sure. That's a great question. Homes.com immediately hasn't pulled any data just because, you know, obviously 1 year, there's only so much of differentiation and trends. But in 2020, it's definitely something that we're looking for, especially with the questions of regulations and different cities making different adjustments, is to see how that is impacting. Again, we took a look at median monthly mortgage payments for those types of cities. So the real estate market itself also has an indication of helping to dictate what kind of return on investment, what revenue opportunity there is. So I think when you're exploring the best cities versus potentially the worst cities, is thinking through the real estate market themselves. You know, some of the California markets are going to be really, really more expensive as far as purchasing a home, but also has the potential to recoup the value because more people are interested in traveling in those areas. So it really kind of factors in, and anybody who's in California is aware of that. So thinking through what your real estate market looks like and doing the research of going onto Airbnb and exploring what type of payments are being asked for other properties will help give you a little bit better sense before you jump full throttle into it. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
How about yourself? Are you guys noticing with all of the, obviously the podcast as well as your sites, any type of cities that have been standing out as far as maybe up and coming?
So being from the Midwest, I think it's exciting. I moved here from New York City, which is obviously a big tourist destination. And I had a little basement Airbnb and it was thriving. And this was before it was cool to be an Airbnb host. This is when people thought we were kind of crazy. And now it's kind of fun because people are like, so you've been doing this for a while and you're still alive and you still like it. So it looks like it's a good thing to do. But it's just interesting to see in Columbus, Ohio, even from Airbnb, the brand itself, how much attention it's giving the Midwest. Because it's just this untapped market of home sharing and businesses are thriving here and technology is coming here and people are starting to notice us over here mm-hmm. in the Midwest. And so I encourage listeners too to like, yes, I think the traditional vacation spots are a great place to look, especially if your motives are having some place to go for yourself or your family. But if you really are looking to make a change, not discount us over here because like your 2018 report said, not too much has changed in terms of it still being a thriving market, but cities like Cleveland and Cincinnati and Indy are all getting, I mean, Kansas City, Missouri, like all these cities are getting a lot of attention and they're great places to live. And I'm saying that coming from one of the best cities. And I think it's just a really great opportunity to kind of make a great side hustle and invest in real estate.
Absolutely. I mean, I think both you and I are 100% on the same path of wanting to invest in real estate. It's a wonderful opportunity to kind of return your investment. And it's one of the biggest investments that an individual can make in their lifetime. So thinking through all of the different areas and giving the Midwest a big shout out is pretty great.
Yeah. Jillian, do you have any tips for our listeners? You mentioned something a little while ago and it stood out to me. And I think it's really important for us to maybe dig in just a little bit more on it. To look at regulations if you're looking to buy a place on, you know, for Airbnb or even for you to live in and to maybe Airbnb it in the future or maybe a room in it. But let's say regulations change. What are some thoughts that buyers should have on, I want to call them exit strategies, I guess. Let's say someone bought in Raleigh and their sole idea was to Airbnb and now they're kind of like, well, what do I do now? So what are some things that buyers can think about when the initial idea is to Airbnb, but then let's say that, you know, hits a bump in the road?
I'm sorry. The question is, what are some thoughts if people have already kind of jumped into it, thought about Airbnb, and it's no longer an option for them?
Well, yeah. So like, let's say they haven't done that yet. They're tuning in because they want to hear about what's going to happen in 2020. They're kind of thinking about places to buy Airbnbs. And, you know, I guess when I kind of, do you agree that it would be a good idea to say, okay, yes, Airbnb that place, you know what the mortgage is going to be, you kind of know what the nightly rate's going to be, you're going to profit, but let's say the city says, you know what, no more Airbnb. Maybe then it would still be a great place to do a long-term rental. And are you prepared to have a landlord mentality? Or maybe maybe you can still sell it easily because it's in a great location, it's a great floor plan. I mean, anything else that you think, like, and do you think that's important to have kind of exit strategies if you're buying a property exclusively for Airbnb, but since we can't really control what our local governments, you know, decide temporarily to do with the properties, just things to think about?
Sure. So I think there's two ways to kind of tackle that question. First, if you're coming at it from an individual buyer, right, and you're looking to purchase a home, I think anybody, especially mortgage professionals, would advise that you not overextend yourself and purchase without the mentality of thinking that you would be able to sustain that mortgage. So city regulations aside, it should be something that you're not having to come up with an, oh, crap, backup plan, but something that, you know, because nobody wants to be put into that position. That being stated, obviously evaluating what your financial capabilities are. I mean, if you've already purchased a home, you should know whether your home insurance covers, you know, you changing it from being a primary residence into a, you know, like you alluded to, a longer term rental and being in that landlord position. You would already be aware of any potential taxes associated with, again, it not being your primary residence. But I think if somebody is trying, who's already got into that process and can sustain it or is coming at it from an investor approach, is trying to think of a backup plan is 100% a smart route, but thinking through the backup option in the sense of both short-term and long-term costs. And what I mean by that is if you're looking to have it be where you're serving as that long-term rental, i.e. landlord scenario, there's short-term costs of, you know, getting it listed and making sure that you're paying a property management company to help you with that maintenance, or if you're local, doing it yourself perhaps, and thinking through all the, you know, logistics of bringing in a renter and having it in a fully functioning, capable manner and kind of those monthly costs, reoccurring costs, and then potential marketing costs associated if your tenants decide to depart. So if you're going to come up with a scenario in either situation, is making sure that you do that upfront research and not putting essentially, as the phrase states, all your eggs in one basket, and thinking through that there's a potential for a couple of different items to happen and that you would still be okay. Because real estate is a huge investment and you definitely don't want to go into it kind of blind without thinking through all the potentials, because it's most certainly not always an easy process owning a home, and owning a home with the intention of renting it out in any way, in any fashion, whether it be Airbnb and longer term, is going to come up with some unique situations. So making sure that you do your research and you're prepared and you're thinking through all the potential angles so that you're prepared from a short-term standpoint and also from a long-term standpoint.
So many good points there. I mean, I love that you brought up the insurance situation too, because that's something that you're going to need to look into becoming an Airbnb host, becoming a landlord, and then, you know, as a homeowner. So good, Jillian. Any advice for residents looking to list their home through Airbnb so they can prep their space for the Airbnb market that you guys have loved seeing over at homes.com?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think when it comes to the Airbnb situation, like, you really just want to make sure that you are putting yourself as in the potential renter, putting yourself in their shoes. So making sure that your home is essentially up to snuff, if you will, right, is furnishing the home for guests and making sure that, you know, it feels homey enough, but it also has the kind of like luxury and amenities that somebody might seek out. You want to make sure that guests feel welcome, but they also feel that their money is going towards something that they're excited about. So making sure that your space is something that they can be eager to rent and want to rent and perhaps help with that supply and demand situation, but also having high photography. I can't tell you how much it's valued, especially in our business from a real estate perspective, as home buyers or renters are trying to find a new home. It's all about the images. Let me tell you, people just love sifting through imagery, and that's how they get a sense of what the home is like. They start picturing it, and that's honestly what entices them to pull the trigger from a purchasing standpoint to contact their real estate professional, or from a potential renter standpoint for them to go and reach out to an Airbnb host. So high quality, cannot overstate how essential that is in making sure that you're kind of converting for those emails. But then also, I would encourage them to think through what potential long-term cost or upgrades might be that they may want to make in the beginning stages, such as technology. There's a lot of advancement in any type of smart, eco-friendly, energy efficiency technology, home security, et cetera. And those will really appeal to folks who are looking to rent on Airbnb, is because it gives them that extra layer of safety and it gives them that extra layer of comfort in the sense of when they're in the home, what they're going to experience.
Yes, actually, Holmes, you have a really good article about smart technology that we'll link to in the show notes, because it's a great way to see how, I think the writer talked about how they wanted to have their shades be, you know, on smart technology. And then it kind of like snowballs into, well, if we do that, we could also have, you know, the bathroom light that is smart technology. So you're in the bedroom and you're Airbnb and you can say, you know, whatever, Alexa, turn on the bathroom light. So, and I think, and I'm sure you're seeing this too, Jillian, Airbnb hosts are getting competitive. We're kind of all stepping up our game. And that is exactly why Annette and I started Thanks for Visiting, this educational component, because we want communities to not dread when an Airbnb comes into their community. We want them to be excited, maybe even consider it like a community suite where you no longer have to put your in-laws in the basement. You could put them in an Airbnb down the street. And how cool is it to invest just a little bit extra to have it be smart? And the photos, I can't agree more. You know, being on homes.com and just looking at all the different houses that are just there, you kind of get drawn in and you start thinking, could I make this happen? And you start thinking the once impossible possible because those images draw you in. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to Sonoma recently, and honestly, it wasn't in the heart of Sonoma where some of the other places would be, but it was high up in the mountains. And the pictures really helped illuminate what the scenery that you would experience every morning, and helped highlight the different spaces, because we were renting with a bunch of girlfriends, the different spaces that you had for the common areas, as well as, you know, your respective areas when you've had perhaps a longer day in the sun. And so it really is a crucial element to make sure that the person who is currently looking to vacation there or currently looking to get away for whatever reason can envision themselves in that space. They can see what they might be doing in that space or how much of a retreat it would be given, you know, what the day may bring. So cannot overstate enough how important photos are.
I know I might be putting on you the spot a little bit, Jillian, but I feel like you see a lot of real estate photos. What are some key differences, even if it's just one, between a regular real estate listing and maybe an Airbnb listing? Like, how should the photos differ ever so slightly to attract a renter versus a buyer?
That's a really great question. I don't know that there is necessary large differences. And the reason why I'm stating that is because at the end of the day, you're just trying to attract somebody's attention, and high quality imagery and lots of light, natural light. I mean, they say that when you sell your home, you should always have all the blinds up and all the curtains open and what have you. It just presents a much calmer sense, and it opens up the space a lot more. It gives the illusion of more space. So I would definitely encourage that. I mean, we have lots of home staging articles that truthfully I feel like is very applicable if you're looking to kind of set the stage for your rental and making sure that it's picture perfect for the photography assets that you're taking. But I would definitely say natural light is a crucial element, not having any blinds or curtains kind of covering it. Mirrors are also really great opportunity to kind of like give the illusion of more space because it reflects a lot of light and gives that illusion. Any type of wide panning shots that you can take also make it seem much more grand of a room. So I think there isn't a heck of a lot of differences in that regard, but making sure you also highlight the features is crucial. So any smart technology, any ease while they're living there. For example, there's obviously dishes and dishwashers and any type of laundry setup and things of that nature. Things that you recognize as a feature, you should definitely make sure that you are picturing appropriately. Even if it's inside the details, people are very, very visual. And 9 times out of 10, this is just my personal thoughts here, is people are going to go to that and then start sifting through. As long as it's met that hard search parameters, they're going to take a look and see if they can picture themselves there and then start to sift through the data. So I would really make sure that you're highlighting your best assets, your best features, whether it's the location, whether it's the view, whether it's the actual, you know, home itself or some of the amenities associated with it. That's what needs to be photographed.
And speaking of, you spoke of some articles on your blog about staging. Mm-hmm. I want to let our listeners know there are also several really great articles on homes.com about Airbnb. And so please check those out after you listen to the show. And we'll make sure to link to homes.com and the article that we spoke about. But please do some searching on your own. They have a plethora of them there that can be very educational.
Anything else, Jillian, that you want to talk about before we say goodbye that you think our listeners should know about to help them in their future endeavors to find Airbnbs or anything else that's home related?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of really great resources that we kind of touched on that homes.com has provided to kind of help with this whole transition period. So whether you're looking to purchase a home with the intention of Airbnb, or perhaps you have a separate home for Airbnb and a separate for yourself, feel free to take a look at our website. Some of the resources that Sarah has indicated will be included, and let us know if we can help you out in anything.
Thank you so much for your time, Jillian. We feel super honored that Homes.com is spending time with Thanks for Visiting and just joining us in this like crusade of educating listeners to really making real estate something that works for them. So thank you for your time. Listeners, I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant.
We are.
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros,
is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.